Well, on tonight's debate, we've got author and broadcaster Jonathan Fryer joining us from London, and also editor of Veterans Today, Mr. Kevin Barrett, joining us from Madison. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Mr. Fryer, let's start off with you. We see a clear dichotomy, especially with today's attacks, where some media outlets have failed to condemn them as terrorist attacks. Don't just take my word for it. Let's take a look at some headlines. We've got The Telegraph. They're using words like shooting and attacks. We've got Fox News, mass shootings. Elsewhere, the BBC says shootings and attacks. And also VOA, choice words, mosque attacks.
I think clearly there has been a failure.
Mr. Fryer, is there some kind of hypocrisy as to what is a terrorist attack and what isn't?
I think there needs to be clarification for several of the main media organizations in this country, including the BBC, which you mentioned, because there hasn't really been sufficient acceptance of the reality of Islamophobia and the fact that terrorism can be carried out by white extremists as it can by other sorts of groups. And certainly, the sorts of liberal media like The Guardian and most of the other left-leaning papers in this country have, and websites have certainly declared it a terrorist attack, as indeed did the Queen and the government. But the government needs to face up to the reality of the fact that many people do not see white right-wing extremism by white supremacists as terrorism, but it clearly is. They use terror tactics and they are targeted at specific groups who are not white.
Kevin Baird from Madison, let's talk about this hypocrisy. In addition to that, U.S. President Donald Trump has called the terror attacks in New Zealand as quote-unquote a horrible massacre. Why isn't Trump calling them terrorist attacks or acts of terrorism?
Well, Trump is an example of the kind of extremism that we've seen developing since September 11th, 2001, which was a false flag attack designed to quite literally hypnotize the world's population, especially Americans, put them into a literal trance as they watched repetitious footage of planes into buildings, planes into buildings, planes into buildings, and pyroclastic explosive clouds billing out of the Trade Center. This is the most obvious example of a mass hypnosis orchestrated event in all of human history. And obviously the people who designed the September 11th publicity stunt, which is what Lynn Margulis, National Medal of Science winner, called it, were intending to plant a post-hypnotic suggestion into the unconscious depths of Western culture that would promote intergenerational Islamophobia. That is a wave of murderous Islamophobia that would go on for decades or longer. And the author of the 9/11 Commission report, a certain Philip Zelikow, essentially sketches this out in his 1998 article about what would happen if there were a massive terror event, a new Pearl Harbor in the United States, such as the destruction of the World Trade Center. He wrote that in 1998, and then he became the czar of the 9/11 Commission, who single-handedly, essentially, produced the novel, the Islamophobic incitement novel called the 9/11 Commission Report. What we're seeing today is the mass murder of Muslims all over the world, not just in this relatively minor attack in New Zealand. We've seen 32 million Muslims massacred in terrorist action by mostly uniformed forces of the West in wars that were incited by the September 11th false flag war trigger event. The primary beneficiary of that event was Zionism. And Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been actually implicated in the September 11th event, today we're seeing the continuation of this clash of civilizations, this Western war against Islam that was very consciously drafted and orchestrated back well back before the 1990s, actually. And it's playing out today with these right-wing idiots who are being driven over the edge by the refugees, the Muslim refugees who are coming into the West, precisely because of these attacks on Israel's enemies in this clash of civilizations war. This is all by design. And our mainstream media is absolutely complicit in this, just as much as Trump is, because our mainstream media is hiding the reality of the September 11th false flag and the Islamophobic, mass murderous, genocidal murder of 32 million Muslims all over the world, including events like this, that the September 11th attack was designed scientifically to produce.
Jonathan Fry, do you agree with the assessment made by our guest in Madison?
Well, I certainly wouldn't agree with Kevin when he said that this was a minor attack. It was a horrific attack. 49 people already have died, and there are others who are very, very seriously injured. And it is, as your report said at the beginning, probably the worst attack on civilians that happened by this sort of terrorist action. Now, I also probably wouldn't underwrite what Kevin said about the link to 9/11. What I would say, though, is that what's happened both in the United States and in some countries in Europe is that far-right groups have almost been brought into mainstream political discourse. Previously, they were totally marginalized and didn't have much effect and much influence, but partly thanks to social media, the platforms that someone like the Australian terrorist Tarrant was using in the run-up to today's attacks, meant that they were able to link up with other people and without a doubt have influenced groups such as those that supported President Trump, and indeed here in Britain, some of the very strong Brexit supporters. And this means that some of the far-right discourse has become part of the mainstream discourse. And this is something that all governments, if they seriously want to combat Islamophobia and other forms of prejudice and hate crimes, have to confront.
Kevin Barrett, another aspect of this this far-right ideology that's becoming more and more prevalent is the fear of migrants, that anti-migration sentiments where people are led to believe that immigrants are taking away jobs, they're taking away opportunities. The end result of such fear-mongering has been nothing but instances like this unspeakable violence.
Well, the thing is that this right-wing white nationalist backlash that Trump so obviously represents is a predictable product of the stream of refugees who have been sent into the West, and especially Europe, as a result of these wars on Islam for Israel. These attacks on the seven countries in 5 years that General Clark told us 9/11 was designed to launch. This was predictable and this was orchestrated. The people who launched those wars against Israel's enemies knew that the result would be a massive tidal wave of refugees swarming into the West, and that it would indeed ignite this white nationalist backlash. It was predictable, it was planned, it was orchestrated, it was intentional. And therefore, when we hear people today saying, oh, we have to keep this white nationalism out of the discourse, out of the mainstream, to try to prevent these kinds of horrific incidents, they're getting it exactly wrong, because the problem is that it is absolutely natural for the people in these countries where there's been this wave of refugee immigration to be terrified for their future, especially given the collapse of birth rates in the native communities in Europe. And a frank and fearless discussion of this issue is the only thing that will help the situation. But what we're seeing instead is that the very forces that orchestrated this catastrophe, this genocidal war on Islam, with this white genocide against Europe, that's what they call it, the right-wingers call it, and I can see why they think that was the result of this war on Islam, an honest and frank discussion of what's really happening and who's really behind it is being banned all over the internet. We just saw Zero Hedge banned from Facebook. Zero Hedge has no hate whatsoever. They simply provide truthful alternative viewpoints. And so this call for censorship of so-called white nationalist platforms, and what's happening is they're not really banning the hate-mongering platforms. They're certainly not banning Trump. What they're banning is the truthful platforms. They're banning people who are telling the truth about what's really going on. And this event, I think, was probably orchestrated to amplify this wave of censorship that's being directed against the alternative media, where all sorts of truths are being told, including the truths about the fact that this refugee wave was orchestrated by the people who did 9/11 and incited the 9/11 wars. This was all planned, and there are people who are benefiting from it, but you can't talk about this in the mainstream. But people are talking about it more and more. I wouldn't be surprised if this event were in partly a false flag manipulation precisely designed to shut down the free speech on the internet.
Jonathan Fryer, Mr. Barrett brought up an interesting topic. The issue of migrants pouring into Europe is a result of the wars the Western allies have started and fueled over the years. We can name Libya, we can name Syria, just some of the countries off the top of my head. So in essence, they do have a big role in the migrant influx themselves. What are your thoughts on the issue? Mr. Barrett believes that this was all planned. Do you think so as well?
I don't think it was planned, I'm afraid. I don't accept the conspiracy theory there at all. I think it's also important to recognize that the migrants are not all people fleeing wars. One of the particular problems being faced by Spain and Italy and Greece is many, many people are fleeing from countries such as Eritrea, African countries, where poverty and lack of opportunity are the driving forces that are causing them to leave. Given that, yes, some, of course, have been fleeing war zones, but I don't believe at all that this has all been planned. And it's interesting that the reception in different countries has been different. Greece, for example, has been really remarkable in dealing with this huge influx, whereas some other countries, such as Hungary, have been very aggressive about it indeed. But there's one point I'd like to pick up, which I think echoes some of the things that we've been discussing, which is that in France in particular, there is a certain right-wing narrative now, which the French call full replacement theory. This is an argument by some far-right groups that basically, because of the falling birth rate, which Kevin mentioned, that one day, sometime in the future, Islam will have taken over the whole of Europe because of the migrants. Now, this is a sort of very dangerous narrative that has to be countered. I mean, it's, of course, statistically absolute nonsense anyway. And in many countries, such as Britain, there has been a great effort, not entirely successfully, to promote multiculturalism and to welcome refugees. And it's important to acknowledge that in London, for example, we've had huge marches, not very recently, but in recent years, saying refugees, welcome here.
Kevin Barrett, let's talk about the reactions to today's murderous rampage. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif has said that the attack is a result of, quote, impunity in the West to promote bigotry. Now, this the bigotry that Foreign Minister Zarif speaks of, it's only allowed against Muslims. So for example, any form of anti-Semitism is met with full force and condemnations.
That's true. In fact, the weaponization of Islamophobia has been used in tandem with a kind of super hypersensitivity about anti-Semitism to, in fact, encourage the censorship of the voices that are telling the truth about where this Islamophobia is coming from, which is namely the extreme right-wing Zionist orchestration of 9/11 and the 9/11 wars. So who's being banned on the internet today? Again, it's not the white nationalists. It's the truthful sites. In fact, here at False Flag Weekly News, my weekly news show, we were briefly banned from YouTube last week, and we're back up now. So I think that there is a kind of impunity right now for Islamophobic discourse, and that's not surprising in part because since the 9/11 wars began, basic training in our military is designed to overcome people's innate resistance to killing other people, and to do that it uses all kinds of extreme racist tropes. In basic training, they train people to murder so-called ragheads and camel jockeys and hajis, just as during Vietnam they trained people to murder gooks and slants. This has been part of basic training since the late 1950s, when the U.S. military discovered that in World War II, most American soldiers hadn't shot to kill. So to get them to shoot to kill, they actually were able to raise the rate of soldiers who would intentionally kill others from about 15% up to well over 90% by the Vietnam era by inculcating extreme murderous racism as part of their military basic training. It's one reason that the Iraq War has seen just so many horrific atrocities, mass rapes and murders and so on and so forth. And all of that has percolated back into the culture as veterans have come home. Plus, our media is totally dominated by people with various kinds of affiliation and concern for Israel. And Israel is essentially a genocidal entity implanted in the heart of the Islamic Middle East. Its business is the slaughter and expulsion of native Muslim peoples. And given that the media here in the United States and throughout the West is controlled by folks who have a passionate attachment to the state of Israel, it's not surprising that our media gives a free pass to murderous Islamophobia while being hyper-vigilant about so-called anti-Semitism, which is very often legitimate criticism of the genocidal policies of the so-called state of Israel.
Jonathan Fryer, some people are warning that the new attacks like the New Zealand massacre may continue unless Western governments take strong measures. In your opinion, what should happen? Where should this process start?
I think there are a number of steps need to be taken. Certainly Western governments, and I would include our government here in London, need to be much more conscious of Islamophobia and the way that this has percolated into some sections of society. We mustn't say it's all everybody, because it isn't, but some sections of society, including some politicians. There's also an element which hasn't been raised yet, and that is weapons control, arms control, gun control. I mean, we in Europe find it absolutely staggering, for example, that in the United States it's possible for people just to march into a shop or a fair and buy the most extraordinary weapons. Now, Brenton Tarrant, this Australian terrorist, obviously got his weapons from somewhere. So there needs to be much, much tighter control of who can get hold of guns. I know in America, in principle, there is a First Amendment of the Constitution that says everyone has the right to bear arms. But certainly here in Europe, we find that horrific. And certainly we need to de-weaponize a lot of this sort of conflict. Otherwise, more people will get killed.
All right, that's all the time we have for the show. Author and broadcaster Jonathan Fryer joining us from London, and also joining us from Madison, editor of Veterans Today, Kevin Baer. Gentlemen, thank you for contributing to the program, and also special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us on tonight's edition of The Debate. It's good night for now.